Philippians chapter number 3, verses 13 and 14. Never again like 2010. I'm sure that many of you here this morning would agree that 2010 has been a challenging year. I mean, some things has happened this year that we never thought would happen. We've gone some places we never thought that we would go. Got caught up in some situations that we always said, no, that would never, ever, ever, never happen to me. In spite of where you find yourself this morning, God has delivered you from that place. How do I know that? Because you're still sitting here. And because you volunteered this morning to come, in spite of the weather, in spite of the tiredness in which your body feels, in spite of all of that, you decided to come this morning to give God some praise. I know that you have a heart for God because you're here. What I also believe is that your life has turned in the last 12 months, and you've experienced some things in the last 12 months in which you declare those things will never, ever, ever happen to you again. At least not like that. Not if I have anything to do with it. And it's not that things can't happen to you, and that's okay, but what we'll learn this morning is, in spite of what happens in your life, you still have the power to overcome whatever that happens. In life, we sometimes experience seasons, if not an entire year, of misery. Sickness, divorce, lose your job, your investments are going down, people walked out of your life, people lied on you, people done all sorts of things. Misery is just all around us sometimes. I believe that it is in the process of living in misery that God is developing inside of us ministry. Now, by ministry, what I refer to is that place in life in which you are called. And it makes no difference what happens. You understand, I was created to be right here. This is my place. The problem with reaching your place in ministry is your past. The moment that you tell someone where you're going and how God is moving in your life and how God is working things out, the first thing they do is they bring up your past. Oh, not you? Because you remember we used to hang out and we used to do this, and you remember when you used to always say this, and by the way, how's old boy doing over here? You still kicking with old girl over here? You know your past always comes up. What we do sometimes is we allow our past to imprison us. And so we won't move forward because we're so concerned about what people are going to say about us. We have to move to a point where we don't care what people think, what people feel, but all I want to do is satisfy what God is saying in my life. Your problem in life is often your past. Now, when your problem becomes your past, it will stop us from seeing the big dreams that God has. Because instead of seeing the big dreams that God has for us, all we can see is our little nightmares. The nightmares, the stuff that happened in your darkest hour, those are the nightmares, and those are the things that we allow to shine brighter than the dreams, brighter than the vision, brighter than what God is calling us into. We have to understand that the stuff, the nightmares, the stuff, our darkest hour, the things that happen in our life is not as important as where God is taking us to. But it requires us to go through something in order to get there and to stay there. Right. Have you ever met anyone that ran across cause a lot of stuff one day, and the next day it was gone because they didn't have the discipline to keep it. See, sometimes we ask God for something, and if God gives us what we ask for and we're not prepared for it, we'll lose it the very next week. So God allows us to go through a process because the process is to mature us. Now, what I mean by mature is to perfect you. Not to make you perfect as in sinless, but to make you perfect as in a mature adult. Now, Paul had this thing locked down, he thought. The chapter opens up, or the book opens up, and Paul put his credentials out. You ever met someone? Look at me. You ever met someone? Look this way. And the first thing they say is, this is what I have. This is what I make. This is where I've been. This is what I'm affiliated with. You ever met people like that?
Amen.
They are so insecure, they throw their resume out at you. And you say, I didn't ask you for all that. I just said, hey, how you doing? That's all I said. I don't need to know where you've been, where you came from. I'm just saying hi. And so when people begin to give you their resume, it is to put up a shield because there's insecurity back here. So they don't want you to see what's really going on. They want you to focus on this. And so Paul placed his resume out there and he says, you know, I was born into this family. I'm educated and I've been here and I've done that. And so one day Paul was traveling down the road of Damascus. And God allowed a light to shine on him, and that light illuminated his life. Imagine walking down the road 12 o'clock in Columbus, Georgia in the summertime, and the sun is shining so bright and so hot, yet in spite of the S-U-N that is shining, you one day meet the S-O-N, and when God steps into your life, he becomes brighter than what you were dealing with. See, God will show up in your life because God says, I am the light of the world. See, it's possible for the sun to be shining, but you're still living in darkness because on the inside you're insecure. Because on the inside your ego is playing tricks on you. Because on the inside you don't know who you are, so you allow somebody else to define who you are. You gotta know who you are in Christ in order to see what God has established for you already in the kingdom of God. And so Paul says, here's my resume. And one day he meets Jesus, and what he discovers is that his credential has nothing to do with his calling. Now, I'm glad that his credential has nothing to do with his calling, because that says that when God has a place for you, when God calls your name, your qualification doesn't matter. High school dropout, drug addict, alcohol, God says, I don't care. Baby, I call you, and you're going to submit to me and do what it is that I call you to do. When God has a blessing for you, nobody can stop you. When God calls your name, calls your number, I don't care what roadblocks, obstacles are before you, no one can stop you. So God says to Paul, he says, I'm calling you. And so he calls Paul, and Paul thought that everything that he'd gone through in the past was his qualification. God qualifies you by favor and grace, not by your works. The Bible declares that you are saved by grace. Now, once I'm saved by grace, it is the love of God that produces works in my life, but the works don't save me. The works come in when I'm already in God's family. So that's not the saving thing. It is the grace that saves you. And what that is saying is, because grace saves you, don't act cute. Don't act like you got it going on. Don't act like you can't stumble and fall. Don't act like your closet door can't ever swing open. Don't act like you'll never fall down. Because baby, the same people you meet going up are the same people that you meet coming down. You gotta be careful how you treat folks. You gotta be careful what you say about folks. Because the same folk that you lying on today and same folks that you belittling today may be the same folk that you need tomorrow. Isn't it something in life when you find out that
The same person that lied on you, that's the same person that someday have to come to you and say, can you help me? But you're bigger than them. And you say, because my God has blessed me, I'm going to bless you just so somebody can see ministry in my life. I'm going to be a blessing for you in spite of what you did. See, the Bible says you got to love your enemy as yourself. Oh, I love me. So when I'm going through something and people don't treat me right, I have issues loving folk, never mind as much as I love myself. Because what I'm thinking is that, now see, I'm glad that happened to you. Now this is, I'm talking about me. I know y'all hold it. Y'all got it. But I'm just talking about me. Those thoughts go through my mind. But then that's why we have to get outside of self and get in the spirit, man, and to say that, you know what? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He will repay. And no matter what I try to do that person, God's vengeance is worse than whatever I can ever put on that person. See, we have to trust that God is going to work it all out. We have to trust that even going through misery, that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. See, sometimes in the midst of going through something, we don't understand what God is doing. And not only do we not understand what God is doing, we don't even like what God is doing. Oh God, why would you bless that person and not me? I'm the one that's coming to church. I'm the one that's faithfully giving. I'm the one that's loving my neighbor. But yet here's this joker talking about everybody, lying on everybody, and it seems like he get a new car every other month. It seems like he don't have no problem paying his bill. But what about me, God? And God is saying, but I got you. Amen. And you say, God, I don't feel that one now. God has a different place for you. And so the place that God has for you is greater than the problems that you're experiencing. And so Paul says, brethren, he says, I count not myself. Now, he used the same word that James, who's the half-brother of Jesus, used. James says, count it all blessings. Count it all joy. And so here is Paul writing, and Paul says, I count not myself. Now, what the word count is, it's an accounting term, but what it does, it says, I'm going to take all of my negative experiences, and I'm going to credit it on the positive side. Somehow, everything that I've gone through, God is going to get a blessing from it. Somehow, everything that I've gone through, someday God is going to pay me. In spite of everything that you've gone through in life, you got to know that God got a blessing on the other end of your misery. You gotta know that the stuff that you're going through, God is not gonna leave you in the midst of it. So Paul says, brethren, I count it all. I count it all. I know that God has something in store for me. See, what he understood was God was gonna repay everything that people tried to take from his life. And so he says, this is a credit to my life. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, everything that I thought I knew, I discovered that I really didn't know. You remember when you were 19 and you was the smartest person in the world? And your mom and your dad used to try to tell you stuff, and you used to tell them that the world has changed and things are so different now, and you just don't understand. I know I'm talking to some kids now, and what you discover is that there's nothing new under the sun. The same window that you slip out of at 16, your mom and dad slipped out the same window. They know how to do that. The same lie you be trying to tell under the cover on the phone, they did that. They already know how to do that. And you think you're pulling something over on them. And they just saying to themselves, I already did that one. But if you would have did this, you would have got away with it. But you don't know that. I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing, he says. Now, notice he says, all of my experiences, I'm going to credit them on the positive side. Because what he understood, he says, this one thing that I've learned in life, and that is forgetting those things that are behind me. Now, forgetting those things doesn't mean that I don't know what you did. Forgetting has to do with it, cancellation. Now, when you commit a crime, and sometimes the governor can pardon you of the crime. That means the crime still was committed, but he's canceled it out as though you never did it. In other words, I know what Deacon Don did to me, but I'm going to wipe it clean because the pain is not there. Because I took the pain that was involved with with it, and I understood it. It was to move me to the place where God was taking me to. So everything that happened in your life is to get you to the place where God wants you to be. You got to follow me. So he says, the one thing that I learned is forgetting those things are behind me. And he says, what I have to do is I have to press toward the mark. In other words, pressing is, he understood that God had a calling in his life. Now, a calling, as I said earlier, is a place where you reach in life and you're absolutely positively sure, I'm supposed to be here. It may not be the most money, but I'm absolutely positively sure this is what God called me to do. I am absolutely positively sure. You can't shake it. You can't make me doubt it. I know for a doubt that God called me to teach the word of God. Now, some other things you can question me, but I'm absolutely certain that God calls you. When God calls you to a place, God then gives you an anointing where you can flow in it. It doesn't take a long time to prepare for it because I just flow like that. Because God has placed inside of all of us an anointing, an area where God is saying, I'm going to flow. Now, where you find yourself operating in with no pain attached soever, the place where in spite of everything, you still flow in, that's your mark of grace.
Amen.
I just helped someone because your question was, I wonder what God called me to do. That's the answer. Where you flow, and I mean flow, because you know this is me right here. Everybody else may be struggling to do it, but this is me. That's your place. That's your calling. See, on this day, what I want to do is challenge you next year to step into your calling. What I want to do is challenge you never again like you experienced things in 2010. Because we're out of the place. We're out where God doesn't want us to be. When we find ourselves in the place, Paul says, I'm going to press toward the mark. The mark represents a place of grace. In other words, he's saying, this is my spot right here. Uh-huh. See, when you hit the right spot, the right spot makes you move. When you hit the right spot, you know that you're being satisfied. And so what God is saying is your place of grace is your right spot. God wants to hit your spot this morning. God wants you to get up. God wants you to move. But we keep looking at God and saying, but God, I don't feel that. God is saying, I can't do any more than that because I'm already giving you the anointing to flow there. Now, when you walk in your anointing, when you understand that I'm in my spot, then God says, now I can open up because I can trust you right there because now you're not allowing your past to drive you forward. See, sometimes in life, you got to forget everything that has happened to you. What Satan tries to do is keep us looking back because we can't look forward. If we can just look forward and just get a glimpse of where God is taking us. Look at your life 5 years ago. You had no idea you'd be right where you are this morning.
Amen.
And the truth is, you know you don't even deserve to be here. See, it's by the grace of God that you are where you are. And so what God is telling us this morning is that you got to know that I'm not interested in what your credentials are. I'm interested in your calling in life. We all have a calling. We all have a place. We all have this thing that God is calling us to do. And the reason why we're not satisfied in life, because we're not walking in our calling. The reason why we keep chasing bad stuff is because we're not chasing our calling. The reason why we're never fulfilled, because we're not chasing our calling. When you be about God's business and begin to chase after what God has in store for you, everything else in life lines up. Remember the Bible says, listen, you got to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. When you begin to seek God in all the things that you do, when you begin to acknowledge God, the Bible declares, when you acknowledge God, then God opens things up for you. Stuff that used to stop you, stuff that used to block you, folk that used to hinder you, now they no longer bother you because I understand where I'm going. And where I'm going is the big dream. I'm done with the nightmares of my life. I don't know about you, but there's some stuff that I refuse to look at anymore. There's some stuff in my life I refuse to go back to. I want what God has in store for me. I know that God is calling me into something in 2011 bigger than I am. I know that I need to walk into a place where if God doesn't deliver me from that place, I'll never be there. I understand that God is calling me to something. place. And God is saying, but you got to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, when God begins to move in your life, where you are, you understand you can't hold it down by yourself. You understand this thing is bigger than me. You understand by human nature, I can't afford this morning. What you understand is I can't afford where I am. But you said, but grace. Grace steps in. But favor. Favor steps in. But mercy. Mercy steps in. And when grace steps in and mercy steps in, what we begin to understand is that God has called us to something. And now God is going to challenge you to get there. Now when God begins to order your steps, you got to understand this, that when God is ordering your steps, God is saying, baby, every time I tell you to move, I already got the way laid out for you. Now I just need you to listen to me right now. Now I know I told you to do something, and you look at it and you say, that thing looks impossible. But he says, I am the impossible working God. You got to trust me right there. And God is saying, if you take another step, watch me step into your life. Have you ever been in a place and God says, step, and you say, I don't feel like stepping. I don't look like I can survive. And God said, trust me right here, baby. You got to trust God. You got to know that in order to please God, you got to have faith. Now, faith says this. Faith says, now you got to go when nobody thinks that you can make it. Faith says, now listen, when everything look dark, you got to know that there's a light on the other end. Faith says, now listen, watch this. When all the bills are past due, you got to act like they already paid anyway. Have you ever found yourself in a place and you had to trust in God? Have you ever tried the Lord and God stepped in? Why did he step in your life? Why did he make a way out of no way? Why did he be a doctor in a sick room? Why did he be a lawyer in a courtroom? Why did the Lord make a way out of no way? You ought to begin to praise him this morning, because what you understand is the hell you've been through never again like 2010. I'm coming out of this mess. I may be abused, but I'm coming out of this mess. My credit may be jacked up, but I'm coming out of this mess. I may be sick just for a minute, but I know I'm coming out. I'm coming out. God is pushing you. He's pushing you out of your mess right now. And God is saying, do you trust me? Now, I know it looks bad, but do you trust me? Do you know that I am a friend? Do you know? Do you know me? He says, but you got to trust me right here.
All right. Thank you, Lord.
Paul says, I got to forget all the things that are behind. Watch this. Listen to this in closing. You got to leave your failures behind and cleave to your future. I know it was a rough year. I know you went through something. But you got to leave all that stuff behind. See, you got to refuse to walk into a new year. You know that dude that's in your cell phone that you need to drop? Refuse to take him into your next year. You know that girl that keep lying? Refuse to take her into your next year. You know those fears, that doubt that you have? You got to leave all that stuff behind, because there's something greater than me. You got to understand where God is taking you. And where God is taking you is bigger than your qualifications. And see, when God takes you to a place bigger than your qualifications, he says, now, didn't I tell you your gift will make room for you? Didn't I tell you that? Didn't I tell you I gifted you with something? And that something that I gifted with you, you got to know it's going to open doors for you. You got to know it's your sustaining force. You got to know when everybody else is laid off, you keep getting a promotion because your gift is making room for you. Your gift keep making room for you.
Thank you.
And everybody else is looking. You know that person don't qualify. And you need to look at that devil straight in the eyes and tell him, I know I don't qualify. That's where my gift steps in. That's where my anointing steps in. That's where my Redeemer steps in. That's where my Savior steps in. That's where he steps in. And when he steps in, he pushes everything away. You gotta try the Lord, and you gotta know that he'll make ways for you. You gotta know that God loves you so much. You gotta know that Jesus came. He stepped forth on an old rugged cross. He died for you. You gotta know. So he allows us to go through something. allows to go through something. And the stuff that we go through, the truth told, half of the time, we did it. We deserve to be there. And what I like about God is that He'll make your right. He'll take your right. And He says, I'll turn it around. I know how it's supposed to go, but I turn it around. I know what you're supposed to get, but I'll turn it around. See, God will take a wayward child, and when you spend some time on your knees, He'll turn it around. God will take your little finances, and He'll simply turn it around. God will take sickness, and He'll simply turn it around. God will take fear out of your life, because He turns it around. You see, wherever you're going, you got to know that God is able to turn some stuff around. That's what it means to be converted. Converted means to change and go in the next direction. You got to know with God, God is calling you to turn right here. Don't you go into another year the way that you are. You got to turn. Baby, turn your situation around. Baby, turn your finances around. Baby, turn your household around. Baby, turn your life around. Turn your employment status around. Turn your relationship status around. Turn it around. And when you begin to turn it over to God, then God begins to turn it around. He says, I'll take it now. I know that you're wrong, but I'll take it and I'll turn it around. See, that's what love does. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. I don't know about you, but I got a lot of stuff in my closet. Whole lot of sin. I got some stuff in my closet. I got some stuff in my front room now. I got some stuff on my porch now. But in spite of God still turning my situation around, He still allowed me to praise Him in spite of my mess. He still knows that He's working it out, and it's in my mess that God is praying for a ministry. God wants to move you to your place of grace. He wants to move you to your place of grace. See, that Paul says, he says it's a mark. In other words, you know, it's the spot, the exact spot that I'm supposed to be in. When you find yourself in the exact spot, you don't have to work things out. It's already worked out. Folk looking for you because they want to be around you, because in your presence, there's an anointing just flow. Just being around you, they feel good. Folk at work get upset. They don't know what to do. They find your cubicle because they know if they get to your little cubicle, your little hut, there's an anointing that is in your little hut there, because they know prayer's going on. They know that the devil can't touch them right there. So they looking for you because you are the child of God. You carry the anointing. You are what God is calling into this. How many of you here this morning refuse? Just refuse to go through the same old mess. Just refuse. Listen. Same old bills, same worries at the same time of the month, same issues, same folk, same thing every month, time after time. I get to worry about this joke 12 times a year. I get to look at this bill 12 times. Just refuse to go into the next year with it. I'll say this in closing. Notice what Paul said. He says, forgetting those things. Now, forgetting is cancellation. Watch this. When you pray, God says, when you pray the same way that you pray for others, He says, in essence, I'm going to do for you. Because you says, forgive us of our sins. As we and God is saying, if you can forget some stuff that people did to you, I'll cancel out some stuff for you. Yeah. You got to get that. He says you're walking around and you're carrying hatred in your heart. He says if you can forget that stuff, if you can lay that stuff down, if you can pardon somebody for what they've done to you, he says, now I'm going to cancel some stuff out in your life.
Thank you, Lord.
I wish you got it.
Yeah.
If you got it, you wouldn't walk out of here hating anybody. You wouldn't walk out of here lying on anybody. You wouldn't walk out of here wasting no time bad-mouthing anyone. Because you understood when you walk out of here, if I do that to somebody else, God got to cancel something in my life. I got some bills. I won't cancel. I got some bad broken relationships. I won't cancel. But in order for God to deal with me in that matter, he says you first got to go and deal with someone else like that. See, forgiveness really doesn't bother the next person as much as it bothers you. It's heavy in your life. You got to remember why you don't like a person. You got to remember not to speak to them. That's too much. Then I got to think about you knowing I really don't like you. That's too much. That makes me crazy. Here comes Sam. Now I remember what Sam. No, I don't remember what Sam. The Sam did something. I just can't remember what. But I know I'm not supposed to speak to Sam. No, that makes you crazy. That's too much. You laughing because you know that's you. You crazy? Come on, let's stand in the presence.